Yeah, that's still on there.
This is an old song by the Spencers, but it's got a good meaning to it. We shall meet.
Amen. Songs too, so.
Together, though we have this draw,
yeah.
Me
my father, he's my friend.
Thought to the fact that the Bible said Jesus is going to come on a white horse. Yeah. And the armies in heaven going to come with him riding upon white horses. Right. You ever gave much thought to that? Well, you will this coming year when the new Green Deal and the climate change and the price of gasoline gets about $20 a gallon. And they ain't smart enough to realize that these electric cars have to be charged up and that energy's got to come from somewhere. I guess the most reliable transportation going to be left probably going to be a horse. Won't be just Amish. I can just see a man right now on a big white horse. I don't know how fast a horse can go, but I guess probably motivated.
We need to invest in some horse and buggy. I just told him that.
I'm telling you, buddy. I got a thing about that while my brother Daniel was singing that song. Why I thought about that, I don't know. But I was thinking about how the vehicles are going to be obsolete. But you see, you can't have it both ways.
No.
Oh. Now, does everybody understand electricity comes from coal?
That's right.
And from generators, you know, the turbines and all that right there?
Right.
But they haven't got that figured out.
Uh-oh.
And they haven't realized they can't even save a flea, much less the world. Mm-hmm. So climate change, just grab on to your billfold and hold on. And the new Green Deal is all about money. And, you know, they're going to make gasoline and tire so high you ain't going to be able to afford it. So we're going to be sitting in dark. Well, praise God, at least we're going to have transportation when we come back. Like I said, I can just see a man on a big white horse. Her, you know, flowing back behind her. I can just see her, not trying to catch her. I said, this just ain't happening. Come on, Lord, give me a little air. I'm going to slap in the behind of this white horse that says, I'm fixing dumpy, boy. But anyway, you know, the Lord is coming back. It's sooner than it was when we believed, and it's nearer, I believe, than what we're anticipating. My pastor shared with me, and you know, I'm not saying that this is biblical or nothing, but he shared with me this right here. I'll share it with you. In Revelation chapter number 22, verse 20, says, He which testifies these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Verse 21, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And he said, did you notice them last two verses are talking about the coming of the Lord? I said, yeah, Brother Rick. He said, what's them two numbers together? I said, 2021. And he shouted and hung up on me. But anyway, you know, it's a good thought to entertain that the Lord, as bad as it looks, I am a little bit discouraged. I'm not going to let on about it. I am a little bit discouraged. Hold it against me if you want to. And I didn't want, under any circumstances, Joe Biden or Kamala Harris in the Oval Office. Why, Brother Eddie? Well, for one thing, they're too pro-abortion. Well, wasn't it Kamala Harris that said, ride, don't stop, I'm not for riding, I'm not for murdering babies. And you know this new green deal, this climate change, it's all systems go now. I'm not for none of that.
Man.
And I would be discouraged, Brother Mitchell, if it wasn't for the fact that God's on the throne, above every throne. He's got the say in everything. He done told us how this thing's going to end up in Isaiah chapter 46, verse number 10. He's already declared the end from the beginning, said his counsel would stand. So it ain't like I've got to worry, Sybil. I just got to hold on.
All right. Amen.
He's coming. He's coming quick.
Yes.
When he does, somehow I'm going to beat my land. I don't know how. I might have to cheat. How like it did in this election. I might have to cheat. But somehow or another, she's going to say, where'd he come from? I'm going to say, whoa! On my white stallion, amen? All right. Now, that ain't what we're preaching from. I just want to throw that at you. We're preaching out of 1 John. And I took it on myself to read my Bible through this year again. And I'm ashamed of the fact I hadn't read it through since my mother passed away. She passed away in 2005. And here I am, 2021 now. And I've yet to read my Bible through. Now, I read my Bible, don't get me wrong. But this year, one of the things I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if you let me retire, I'm going to get back to reading my Bible through. And I am retired. My last day was Wednesday of this week. I got to get me a T-shirt that says "Retired, Not Rich" because I don't want to lie to nobody. But anyway, and I was telling them out there at work, I was having a little fun out there at work. I said, "Do I look like a 67-year-old man?" They said, "No, brother." I said, "I will next month. I'll be 67 February 20th. So I will. I'll have to get to looking. I fell this week. I think the Lord just trying to get me to act my age. That may be what it's all about. I don't know. I don't understand everything about God." I just know this, trust and obey. There ain't no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Amen.
Right.
But we're going to take our reading out of 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to read the whole chapter because all of us are behind on our Bible reading. You can say amen right there.
Amen.
We'll read this whole chapter. Our text verse is verse number 6. But we want to read this whole chapter. And John's writing to the church, to the beloved, and he says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses or confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Now, think about this a minute. They're confessing something that Titus says many profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him. In other words, it just don't add up. And he says, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. Y'all heard this. They may have done successfully done it. No more A.D. or B.C. Before Christ, after the death of Christ. That's that spirit of Antichrist. They're denying a lot of things. These infallible proofs. They're saying there wasn't no eyewitness. I said, well, you need to read your Bible a little bit. We got a great cloud of witnesses. I mean, the Lord didn't just appear to the 12. He appeared to 500 at once. And Paul said, I'm like one born out of season. He even appeared to me. But they won't deny all that. But anyway, verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Remember that. You got the advantage over your adversary.
Right.
Greater is he. Listen, the devil's mighty, but he's not almighty. Our God is almighty. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 5, they are of the world. Therefore, speak they of the world, and the world hear them. You ever wonder why you can't get your word across? We're not of this world.
Right.
Hey, I don't fit in down here no more. I used to. I used to be able to stand toe-to-toe with Miranda. I don't fit in down here no more. I don't want to hear what they got to say, and they don't want to hear what I got to say. We're like opposites. And even though they're trying to make everything great, it just ain't never going to work. It's never going to be great. It's always going to be, and I'm not trying to be racist here, it's always going to be light and darkness, black and white. I know they want to make 50 Shades of Grey and all that. Listen, that's not true with God. God's light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And if you want fellowship with God, you got to walk in the light. He's in the light. You can't have fellowship with Him. But anyway, the world, they've got the mind of the world. They've got the words of the world. And the world heareth them. It's our text verse right here. Woo! That's all I can do to read it, not shout.
Amen.
We are of God. That's enough right there. Just stop shouting for an hour. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that's not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. If you know what that means, happy are you. I'll tell you it right now. I'm glad I know the truth. Amen. The one that said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's not many doors to heaven. There's one. We just had somebody say prayer in the Capitol. And I don't remember the name of the God he named, but I don't know it. And he ended his prayer and amen, a woman. Listen, amen is not about gender, even though they've changed the law now. And we got to call Nancy Pelosi Madam Speaker. And you know, we got to trip over all these words now. You got to somehow be politically correct. I can't say Miranda's a woman. I got to say a pronoun. I guess she, I don't know. But I don't know what to use anymore. They got it submitted up. But anyway, you know, they're just trying to make things harder for us.
Right.
I don't fit in that anymore.
That's right.
You know, that's going to be an issue. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego didn't fit in when everybody's bowing down and they're standing up. You get what I'm saying? Understand, that's the hour that's upon us. That spirit of truth and that spirit of error, they're opposites, Brother Mitchell.
That's right.
Beloved,
amen.
Let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Pay attention to what I'm saying here. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Amen. This is a real good verse right here, verse 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. I see these signs in people's yard all the time. Be kind. Be kind. Be kind. I don't remember if it was a song Jerry sung. I guess it was. We're talking about in kindness. Being kind to one another.
Right.
We forgot how to be kind.
That's right.
Now,
I hope this message is effective, because my goal is to remind you who you are.
That's right.
Why you're here.
That's right.
What you're supposed to be doing. What little time we have to do it. And where we're going.
That's right.
I'm going to meet you by the river. You know what I mean?
That's right. Amen.
That's the goal of this message. Sometimes we forget.
Right.
Yeah, we do.
Who we are. And that's the goal of this message.
That's right.
It's going to try to wake you up a little bit. I didn't even have this message this morning about 8:30. I was going to preach on learning how to fight. And I still am going to preach that message. Yeah, I am. Let's see where I was.
12.
Thank you, Miranda. Somebody paying attention. Thank you. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. This is important. You see, the world has never seen God. I haven't either. But I know when He moved in. I mean, I still remember April 27th, 1988, when all my guilt and all my condemnation left Mark, and peace and joy took His place. I remember when He took His rightful place, Sybil, on the throne of my heart, and He's been ruling and reigning ever since. How'd that happen? I invited Him in.
Right.
I said, "You come on in, Lord." And He said, "Thank you. I've been knocking for a long time."
Amen.
I mean, 34-year-old, dumb and about to rot, but I had no sense to say, "Lord, if You'll have me, come on in and take Your rightful place."
Right.
He won't come in unless He's invited.
Right.
And I invited Him to come in.
That's exactly.
Boy, was that ever a good day. Amen. I mean, I truly did get up and go look in the mirror. I didn't have one out of my head then. But I thought I was going to have a halo. And the horns are still there. And the ugly was still there. But it sure was different in here. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Miranda. I appreciate you so much keeping up with where I was. But no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. And in His love, and His love is perfected in us. That would be our goal, is perfect the love of God in our lives. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in Him and He in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. If any man say, "I love God," and hateth his brother, he's a liar. And he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. It's going to be a tough message.
Amen.
Y'all pray with me and pray for me. Father, we thank You, Lord, for what we've just read.
Yes.
Oh, how we need to be doers, not just hearers only, right, of the Word of God. Would You help us, Lord, in this matter of love? Would You open our eyes, we might see through Your eyes and understand with the understanding of God and the wisdom of God, Lord, the day and hour we're living in, Lord, because I'm seeing a shortage of love. I'm seeing, Lord, even myself double my own fist up. I'm seeing myself, Lord, drawn back to the old man that used to be so contentious and so confrontational. Lord, I'm asking, Lord, You to help us all this morning. Bless our efforts this morning. Put Your hand upon the work here, Father. Make it what it needs to be. Lord, we might be small in number, but let us be big in love. Let us be big, Lord, in works. Let us be big in fruitfulness and faithfulness, Lord. And we give You praise and glory. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
I told you verse 6 was my text verse, and it says, we are of God. God is love, and I read there verse number 8. We are commanded to love one another, Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 14. And we ought to love one another, verse 11, in the context here that we read. And listen, the mystery of iniquity doeth already work, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. Now, I don't like seeing what I've been seeing. I don't like hearing what I've been hearing. I don't like to see some of the political stunts that have been going on in my country. See, our government's supposed to be of the people, by the people, and for the people, and the majority is supposed to rule, not the minority. However, this little thing right here.
Right.
Right.
Oh my.
Yeah.
For the love of money is the root of all evil.
Yeah.
Now, I did send President some money. I sent him two $50 checks. I got solicited to send him $1 million. I mean, more on my phone every day was, you know, we're losing. You know, we got to catch up with the plan. Understand this, that probably was not anything whatsoever to do with the president. My pastor sent the president some money by credit card. What he didn't know, Brother Jared, was it was going to be a monthly thing. After about $300, he realized I might not have been right in what I did. Now look, before you jump off of the end of the plank, just listen to this. There's an organization in our country called CARE. Sounds good, don't it? It supports terrorists. And they solicit you for money. Money is what fuels some of this stuff that's being promoted right now in our country. I'm not trying to get political here. I'm just trying to clear the air of why we need to just let God be God. Let Him handle some of the things I'm disappointed in, some of the things I see going on that I want to just jump up. I mean, like David and cut Goliath's head off. I want to. But after Jesus came down here and allowed His beard to be plucked out and allowed people to smite Him in the face and allowed people to spit in His face and to put a crown of thorns upon His head and to beat His back with more than 39 stripes. You see, by Jewish law, you was to be beaten 40, save one, because if you went over 40, Rita, they'd beat you. So they want to be careful. They didn't go more than 40. So they'd go 39 stripes in Jewish law. However, Jesus was beaten by Roman soldiers, and there wasn't no 39 stripes. They said His flesh was literally hanging off of Him. The Bible said His vestige marred more than any man. And they said you could see His organs through His flesh. They had literally tore Him into pieces, Brother Danny.
Yes, they did.
But you know what? He didn't forget what His mission was.
Right.
Brother Mitchell. The Bible said He set His face like a flint towards Jerusalem. You see, Judas might have betrayed Him. They might have beat Him, Carolyn. But He was here to finish a work.
Right.
That He came to do.
Yes.
He told them all along, I've come to do the will of my Father. And I just read to you where God loved you so much He gave His only begotten Son. I just read this week in my devotions, in my effort to read the Bible through, I read where God told Abraham to go take His only son, Isaac. Mm-hmm. It says only begotten.
Right.
See, He already had a boy named Ishmael. But when God said, take thine only begotten son, He was specific. Because He done told Abraham, Danny, that Sarah would have a son.
Right.
what have child is a son. It was past with her possibility of having a child. She's 90. He's 99. It's past with her the ability to have a child. You know, you think about Mary having a miraculous birth, a virgin can see it was a miraculous birth. Also with Isaac. And in typology, Abraham's kind of given a symbolic scene of what God did with his son. Except Abraham was allowed to spare his son, and God spared not his son, but he delivered him up for us all. Are you talking about an act of love? My mind can't go there. I can't understand in loving someone that hates you. I can't understand loving someone that's totally against you, trying to undermine you, trying to take over down here, that you would love them enough to give your only begotten son, but then there was no other way.
That's right.
Now, I've been slinging a little mud on the internet. One guy on there, he's so conceited in his own mind that he said that wasn't no sacrifice. Jesus rose again from the dead. I said, yeah, he did. He paid the price for your sins and he rose for your justification. That went over his head. He didn't understand if Jesus didn't get up, he wasn't God. He's Buddha. He's Muhammad. He's, Hare Krishna or some of them other false prophets. But you know, when he rose from the dead, first thing he did, said, well, he went to that devil and said, want them keys, boy. And the devil, Bible said the devil believed in God and trembled. I'm going to say he really trembled. He said, is that all you want, just the keys? And the Lord said in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, I'm he that was dead, and I'm alive forevermore. That's Jesus' arm. And behold, I got the keys of death and hell. He earned them. But you know what? It was an act of love. Now, if God asked Miranda to offer up Canaan or Tegan, you know, she'd start crying. She'd say, Lord, is there not some other way? There wasn't no other way. It had to be. It was the greatest act of love.
That's right.
And God is love. And even though we can't love like He does, unconditionally, you know, God tells husbands to love their wives like Christ loved the church. It's impossible. It's unconditional. I mean, I had too many spats with my wife to say that I do it. I mean, no wonder Peter said, well, it wasn't according to knowledge. I need to find that book by it. She needs to find it too. I cooked her breakfast this morning.
Amen.
Every morning, it's too cold, too hot. I'm taking so long, I'm out getting it every morning. I said, hey, honey, you're lucky you found me. I'm here for you. But that love worked. I struggled with it, Jason. The man in me wants to rise up. God tells me, stand down. He said, I got this. I can't shake this. He's got this. If he didn't have this symbol, let's storm the Capitol. Let's take it by force.
Right.
And this message today, it's very, I didn't realize how timely it was. Very needed. We need to be reminded that God's all about love, and we need to connect to love, re-understand while we're here. But Jesus said in John 18, verse 36, if my kingdom was of this world, then would my servants fight. Now there is going to be a fight. But it's going to be when He comes back.
That's right.
I don't know how they're going to learn the lesson the hard way.
That's right.
That's right.
I mean, I talked about Jezebel this morning. She just couldn't learn the lesson. She couldn't receive the message. She got it on the slow train. Brother Ed said he liked that statement, on the slow train. Well, she got it on the slow train. She learned the hard way. Is that what they say? She learned the hard way that God's God. There's no undermining God. There's no way God's ever going to lose. And listen, when He does come back, boys, He's going to be mad. And I'm glad I'm on the winning side. Amen.
Amen.
Man, I'll tell you right now, I don't like losing anyway. Even though I've lost about everything I've ever tried all my life, I don't like losing. We're on the winning side, really.
Amen.
I mean, just think about that a minute. You couldn't lose if you wanted to. It's fixed. It's fixed. Oh, the winning side. That's why we don't need to get discouraged. That's why we don't need to get caught up. We don't need to be carried away. That's why we need to be steadfast.
That's right.
Awareness.
Amen.
It looks like we lost, yet we won.
That's right.
Who knows the mind of God in this matter? You know, a lot of things I read in the Bible, I'm sitting there thinking, I wouldn't have done it that way. Mm-hmm. Well, God ain't me.
That's right.
I've seen so many things, Lord, you should have done this way. He knows what he's doing. Right. Every now and then I make a mistake of thinking I know what I'm doing and have to get corrected. But listen, Jesus made this statement, if my kingdom, you get the kingdom halls, they think they're going to live on this earth forever. Oh my. If my kingdom was of this world, then would my servants fight. Listen, it looked bad in Noah's day. It was bad in Noah's day. But as bad as it was in Noah's day, Noah found grace.
That's right.
In the eyes of the Lord. I mean, it had repented God that He made man, and He said, I'm going to destroy man from all the face of the earth. Miranda,
right.
Noah found grace.
That's right.
I read that this week. I kind of got it on the second train. I'm glad I found grace.
Amen.
Can you imagine wanting grace?
Yes.
Not being able to find it. I'm glad there's grace to be
Amen.
Found.
That's right.
I'm not just glad Noah found grace. I'm glad Ed found grace. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, my, I remember that day my heart trembled wondering if God could or if God would forgive me of my sins if He done it before I could even really get what I thought to. It was just like that. I mean, He saved me.
Right.
Now, it's taking everybody else a while to catch up to it, but I knew right then, I was saved. Man, I might not be able to give a good discourse on it, but I'm kind of like that one guy. He said, He said, well, I was blind now. See, at least I know I can see now. And I was blind before. And I ain't blind no more, if you know what I mean. But anyway, Noah found grace in those days, as bad as it were. And you know what, Miranda? Noah walked with God.
Right.
As bad as those days was. He walked with God. That's what we need to do. We need to remember that God gave us grace.
Right.
He didn't give me what I deserved.
Right.
And if He had, I wouldn't be here this morning. But by the grace of God, I am what I am.
Amen.
That's all I need to be, really.
Amen.
I ain't got to earn nothing. I ain't got to accomplish nothing. I'm already there. By the grace of God. I'm complete in Him. Hey, I'm saved the uttermost from the guttermost. Yeah, I'm kind of enjoying the journey. I may not understand everything. They may misconstrue it all. But even though they do, God's still on the throne.
Mm-hmm.
He's still coming back. And boy, is He going to clean house when He comes this time, Brother Dan.
Amen.
I can't wait. You know, I've been cleaning house a little bit lately. Reed, I ain't made a whole lot of dent in it, but I got the dishes done. I got to fold some towels when I get home, but I got them washed and dried. I cooked breakfast this morning. What was it? 2 burnt hot dogs and 2 eggs? 2 pieces of toast? Hey! In this spot, you know what I mean? Hey, wait a minute. I just thought of this. Y'all know what I did yesterday? Listen good, Sharon. I made my first gravy.
Oh, wow.
I called Donnie and said, get over here. He come over. I made sure he eat a bite before I did. And that was pretty good. I couldn't make one of them things of sausage, one of them Tennessee fries. I browned it all up. My wife, she supervised. She said, brown it some more. So I browned it some more. Stirred it all up. Jerry, she said, now put a little flour in there. I put a little. I expected to say you put too much. She said, now stir it up some more. I stirred it up some more. She said, put a little bit more flour in there. I thought she might have been messing with me. So I stirred it up pretty much. She said, okay, put some more flour in there. I'm sitting there thinking, why did I put all this in to begin with? She said, if you put too much flour in there, you gotta put more milk in it. You know, I don't know, it's warm though. Here I am. I'm making my first gravy. She said the purpose of the gravy is to soak the grease up.
Right.
You women probably know this already. But anyway, I got it all like she said. Then I put that milk in there. I got to stir that. She said, now salt and pepper. I done asked her if she wanted me salt and pepper. She said no.
Not yet.
So I salt and pepper. I put me 2 pieces of toast down there, and I poured that gravy on top of it, and let me tell you something. I didn't know how good it proved that but good. I may have been the mechanism that done it, but she was the one that's in charge over it. I done everything, you know, I done what I was told, you know what I mean? Well, that's kind of what God wants us to do, to do what we're told. I had success making that gravy. I ate 5 pieces of toast. Donnie, eat 2. My wife eat 2. They'd probably eat more, but I done finished it off. After I realized it was okay, I let it real paper chip. I finished it off. But the old said they got to lick the plates. We put it on paper plates. I'm getting tired of washing dishes, but I made my first gravy, amen. And it was sausage gravy, and it was good, amen. If I had to say so myself. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the door, in the eyes of the Lord in the days he lived in. And Noah walked with God in those days also. Genesis chapter 6, verse 8 through 9. Now when I say we're of God, we're ambassadors of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. And we are to be reconciled unto God just like Jesus was. And I wrote down to read these verses, so I guess I will. In 1 Peter chapter 2. Seen that too. Here's what Peter said for us. Verse 21, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. He said, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who of his own self." Well, we don't need to do that. But you know what he did? He put it in God's hands.
That's right. That's what you have to do.
Yeah, that's what we got to do. That's what I'm preaching about this morning. We got to let God take care of these matters. I don't like them. I don't agree with them. I want to load the gun. But really, we just need to. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, said the Lord. Let him have it. I don't think I can have it. I want to, but I feel miserably at it. And I'll tell you why I'm saying what I'm saying here. The disciples of Christ, they were called Christians first at Antioch, Acts 11, verse 26. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, they took knowledge of these disciples that they've been with Jesus. The world is looking for something real. They've had it up to here with falsehood.
That's right.
I don't like this false stuff, but how do you tell them apart? I mean, they claim to be something they're not, and we claim to be something we are, and the world says, you know, Solomon one day got put to the test, and these women was talking about, "That's my boy," and the other said, "That's my boy." He said, "Go get me a sword." And he said, "Divide that boy in two, give one part to the other, another part to the other," and the woman that the boy belonged to said, "Give it to her, and no wise left." Solomon said, "That's the mother, give it to her." See, it's hard to tell. Sometimes. Paul talking again to church at Corinth, he said, "Marvel not that Satan's able to transfer himself into an angel of light." Man, that's a red flag. How do you tell the difference? Well, pray about it, first of all. Proceed with caution. Read the Bible. Rightly divide it. Try to put things where they belong. I've been trying to organize a house. I think what we need to do, burn to the ground, build nothing. But anyway. The world's looking for something real. Now, when they hear you, "Just a closer walk with thee, granted Jesus is my plea," or "I'm rejoicing in my Savior every moment of the day since He gave me this heart of love,"
Holy on, we walk together in the hallelujah way. Since he gave me this heart of love. When they hear that, they say, you know what? They take note. There's something different about you. Matter of fact, I had a man come to me one time, Brother Jerry. You know what he said? He said, I want what you've got.
Amen.
Now what's really strange about this is, my pastor preached a revival over on 1297, I think it was Beach Grove Baptist Church, I believe. Sam Harper was there, I know Sam, and Shirley, his wife. But after the service, and it was good, Sam Harper came to me, Danny, and here's what he said. He said, you work with my son-in-law, or my stepson. You work with my stepson, and I want you to talk to him about his soul. That scared me to death with him. I'm sitting there thinking, oh my. So what do? You try to get out of it. Here's how I try to get out of it, Miranda. I said, I'll tell you what you do, Sam. I said, you pray that God will give me an opportunity, and I will. And I thought, you know, the fuzz, that never happened. The next morning, Monday morning, I'm in the break room reading my Bible, Sam. I've got the whole break room. They scared to death. There's a man there with a Bible. Don't go in there, whatever you do. So I'm in there reading my Bible. This boy's name is Mark Fisher. I ain't even thinking about Mark Fisher. And I'm reading my Bible, and just like Jerry, I just kind of looked up a minute. And when I did, Mark Fisher walked in front of the break room window there. When I seen Mark Fisher, you know what I did, Miranda? I said, Lord, there he goes. I thought it's a done deal, you know. Next thing I know, Mark Fisher turned around, come back. I mean, he was headed to the smoke shack. You know what I mean? When you got to have a cigarette, you got to have a cigarette.
Right.
But he comes in there, and I'm sitting on like a picnic table with a head in there. He sits across the table, man, I'm trying to figure out what to say. You know what I mean? I'm trying to think, do I give him a track? Lord, what do I need to do right here? And all of a sudden, Mark Fisher, here's what he said. He said, well, he said, I want what you got.
Uh-huh.
You know what I told him? I said, if you'll just tell Jesus
Amen. What
you just told me, you get what I got.
Amen.
He got oceans full. He got dump truck loads there. And you know what? Mark Fisher got saved. He didn't live but 3 years after that. He died of cancer. But Mark Fisher got saved.
Amen.
Now listen, I was in the break room another time. They kind of got used to it. I mean, this was the favorite break room. It's in the middle of the plant, even though 10 acres on the roof. This was the main break room. Here's old Brother Edmund reading his Bible. And I had this boy come in there. His name, we call him Super Dave. But David come in there. And, you know, he's just kind of trying to break the ice. You know what I mean? And here I am, I'm reading my Bible there. I'm not looking up, I'm like Jerry there, I'm looking down, reading my Bible. And he comes in and kind of sarcastic, but he said, is there any word from the Lord? And I said, yeah. And he said across from me, I just turned my little Bible over to him. I put my finger while I was reading Psalms chapter 51. Against thee and thee only have I done this sin. And done this evil by sight, that thou might be just when thou judgest and clear when thou speakest. He started crying. It wasn't no little cry, Sharon. Let me put it this way, everybody in that broker, including me, got up and left. He's a deacon in a church right now. Yeah. Talking about a turning point. He brought me that Bible. He said, thank you. He said, I needed it. See, he might not have understood it.
Amen.
But God did.
Yeah, that's right.
He had somebody in there reading the Bible that didn't know enough, to blow their nose about it. But opportunity presented itself.
Right.
I didn't make no big deal out about it. I mean, he says, is there any word from the Lord? I just turned around and put my finger right there on Psalms 51. And the Bible took it from there. David, he's a deacon in the church right now. You see, the world's had enough of fake. We got fake news galore. Man, every time I find a real news station, I try to watch it best I can. Sometimes I'll go back to the fake news just so I can slap myself or even listen to some of this stuff. But listen, they've had enough of fake. They're looking for something real. Amen. And the Lord said by love, people would know that we were His disciples in John chapter 13, verse number 15. Now listen. Verse 4 talks about us being overcomers through Christ. When I read that verse number 6, we're of God. Verse number 4 talks about us being overcomers Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I'm no match.
Amen.
I'm no match for the enemy. However, my big brother is. I mean, when they're disputing over the body of Moses, mentioned there in the book of Jude, the one chapter of the book of Jude, you know what that angel said, Danny? All he said was, "The Lord rebuke you," and the devil disappeared. He run plumb out of his shoes. That's all it took. Now look, I'm no match for the devil. I know I'm not. He knows I'm not. But I am supposed to put on the whole armor of God that I may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I am supposed to war a good warfare. I don't need to be suckered in or drawn in to some of these wiles and these lies that the devil peddles. I mean, he's not just a liar. He's a father of it, according to John chapter 8, verse number 44. And you know, he's lying, and he operates through lies. How effective is he, Brother Eddie? One third of the angels of heaven fell. How's that for lying? Adam in the garden fell. How's that for lying? There's people falling right now.
That's right.
Yeah, right now. There's preachers falling. There's churches falling. There's good people falling. Jesus said, John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." He said, John 8:32 or 31, "Continue my word and you'll know the truth." Verse 32 said, "And the truth will make you free." And they said, "We've been out bondage in any man." They're so bound they couldn't even see it. Amen. They're bound and blindfolded. "We've been out bondage to any man." Jesus said, "If God was your father, you'd love me." And they still didn't get it anyway. Hey, listen. We're overcomers, not by ourselves, but through Jesus. We're more than conquerors through Jesus. Romans 8:37. We already have the victory through Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 57. But though we've been called into this great liberty, here's why I want to make this point today. Let us not use this liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Why? That we give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14. Now, if I'm not careful, I can bring reproach on Christ. It might not be true, but yet He bears the reproach. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was in the break room one time. It seemed like I got my ministry in the break room. and I'm reading my Bible again, Brother Jerry. And this janitor comes in there. He's cleaning the break room, and he's a little mouthy. And there was a guy who worked out there. His name's Gary Taylor. Yeah, Gary Taylor Auto Sales. You're right. And I worked with Gary. And we were somewhat friends. This guy's giving Gary down the road nothing to me, Timmy. And I mean, he's mouthing about a car he bought off of Gary Taylor, and he's mouthing about the transmission of that car. Wasn't nothing to me. I'm still reading my Bible, Miranda. But all of a sudden, he made a terrible mistake. He said, and I thought he was a Christian. I said, "Hold it, buddy." It got quiet quick. I said, "You leave Jesus out of this." I said, "You say what you want to about Gary Taylor. You say what you want to about the car. You say what you want to about me. But don't you dare say anything about it." Everybody, I mean, they stampeded out of there. You thought I pulled a gun out. This boy left too. Later, he come to me. He said, "I'm sorry, you're right." I don't know why that flew all over my mind. It wasn't like I planned to do it. But when he said that, I thought he was a Christian. You know, I don't know what Gary's Christian or not. That's up to the Lord. I mean, he told me what. I don't know. I know I am. But you know what? I'm not going to die for him because he says he's a Christian. You know what I mean? But when he said that, I thought he was a Christian. There was something in me. I'm going to tell you right now. Rose up bigger than me. I said, "You leave Jesus out of this conversation, buddy. You go ahead and talk about Gary, talk about the car, talk about me. Don't you dare mention Jesus concerning your disappointment in your car and in Gary." Like I said, they run plumb out of their shoes. I mean, there's people wasting, five people went through one doorway.
guy's in there with a mop in his hand or broom. I don't know if he's, he can't remember his mop or sweeping. But he's there sharing, and I'm still there. I'll tell you right now, but I don't know where it's going to go, but if need be, I'll tell you right now, I wasn't about to back down what I said, and he left. Probably a good thing he did. But I hadn't been saved very long. There's still quite a bit of old man there. But anyway, like I said, it turned out all right. But you know what? What the world needs, they need to see reality, but we don't need to give an occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Now, what do you think went out there on the floor out there? You ought to see an idiot. And he said all kind of things that jammed in there. We had to leave. See what I mean? We got to be careful about how we conduct ourselves.
That's right. Amen.
Well, did you got James come?
Both of those.
Yeah. They done something right. They came.
That's right.
I'm working on
James and Star. And
I got another buddy that James working on.
Do you know what? I remember the day James showed up. He sat up here. I said, wow, where'd you come from? He said, I got invited. I said, well, we're glad to have you. But you see, you done something right.
That's right.
And you're bearing the fruit of that.
Right.
But you see, if you're not careful, we can do something wrong.
Right.
That's right.
And then next thing you know, time is told twice. Kind of like what went on up there at the Capitol. Wednesday. Oh my. Pay attention how that's being broadcasted.
That's right.
Eyewitness reports. Eyewitness. I wouldn't matter. Eyewitness reports. Four black government buses pulled up at 9 o'clock Wednesday morning full of Antifa thugs. One with the big horns and the tattoos and the, I don't know, buffalo hide or whatever they had on. He had his picture made with Nancy Pelosi and her son-in-law. Do you think Nancy Pelosi is going to have her picture made with a Trump supporter? Does anybody here believe that?
No.
You get what I'm saying?
No.
They look like Trump supporters. Do you see that Q sent me? I'm afraid to even look up what that means. Yeah, that sign Q sent me. I don't even want to go there.
Right.
But you know what?
Amen.
You couldn't, in the confusion at the Capitol, you couldn't clearly tell who was who. Yeah,
that's right.
The woman that got shot, she was deliberately pushed. An eyewitness right there. Deliberately pushed by Antifa towards the Capitol Guard. And I understand his actions. I mean, he's got his gun ready, not knowing what's coming. And they push her toward him, and he shoots her. Hits her in the neck, she dies. The man, the Capitol Police Guard that died was hit in the head with a fire extinguisher. I don't know who threw that. I'm going to guess probably Antifa. See, the clarity of this matter is where you got to be careful. Where'd all the blame go?
Trump.
See what I mean? That's why I'm saying we've got to be careful that we don't bring blame upon Jesus.
That's right.
He went about doing good because he was good. Made all these false look bad. Like I said, that's kind of what Trump did. He makes them look bad. They hated him like they hated Jesus. Because what he's doing for the country. What they're doing is robbing the country blind. We can't even stop them.
No,
I know one that can. Amen.
Amen.
But anyway, the other three people, they died of a heart attack. They couldn't make it. I mean, they just collapsed from a heart attack. The time it's told twice, it'll be the furthest from the truth. Yeah. What's the goal of it, Brother Eddie? It's going to kind of scare you. But they're trying to make Trump unelectable.
Right.
Oh, yeah. They want to strip him of all the rights of a president.
Mm-hmm.
They want to prosecute him if they can.
Yep.
But if the truth of the matter was known, there'd be no prosecution. There'd be no penalty. It was a very good political stunt.
Right.
Planned very carefully.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a whole lot to do with that picture being made. Y'all know what would have happened?
Yeah.
Let me tell you what actually Ted Cruz, he's a pretty smart man. He actually has a Constitution of the United States memorized. here's what happened, Brother Danny. The day that they brought the electoral votes out, if they had been contested, it would have immediately had to go to the House for a vote. I didn't know this. If it goes to the House for a vote, simple, one state, one vote. They knew 32 votes would go to Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So they were desperate.
Yeah.
Their deceiving appears to have worked. I don't know what the outcome is. I ain't trusting in Trump. Man, I'm trusting in the Lord.
Amen.
I'm trusting the ones coming for me. Amen. I'm trusting the one that made a mighty triumph over his foes. Help from the grave. He arose.
Amen. Amen.
That's the one I'm trusting
right.
in.
Amen.
You couldn't get me down with a bulldozer. Amen. I'm on the upward climb. Hey, new heights I'm gaining every day. I want you to know one day I'm leaving out of here.
That's right.
What a mess.
Amen.
What a mess. Man is made.
We're on
the winning side. I might not be beating around in a car. But when you're running horses, I'm pretty sure it's going to be a close race. It's going to be a close race.
Okay, I'm going to wrap this thing up. Let none of us forget who we are. Let none of us forget why we're here. Let none of us forget where we're going. Let none of us forget what we ought to be doing, and let none of us forget what little time we have to do what we're here to do, and we'll do good, and we'll hear the words, well done.
Right.
I don't know how that message went to you, but praise God, I'm glad to get it off my back. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for leading us in the direction that you led us in, Father. We certainly don't want to be a troublemaker. Lord, we want to point people towards you. We want to try to give hope. We want to try to build faith. We want to try to encourage, provoke, exhort, and Lord, encourage your children. And I pray, God, in some way we have. Help us not to forget, Lord, that vengeance is yours. You're going to handle this. You're going to take care of this. And Lord, you're going to do it in a short time. And Lord, I'm looking forward to the day when you set things right. But Lord, until then, we're going to hold on, and we're going to keep going on, and we're going to keep praying on, and preaching on, and singing on, and praising on, until you come for us, Lord.
Amen.
Then we're going to leave out.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, Lord, we ask your blessings on our efforts today. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to ask everybody to stand. And if Brother Jerry, please. And do you feel like it, Sister Sharon? I don't want to ask you to come up, or if you don't feel like it. She feels like it. I'd like to get her, please. If y'all could just sing a verse of invitation to him. May not be no need whatsoever, but we certainly want to give an opportunity. I hope in some way I've encouraged you.
Brother Eddie?
Yeah.
Brenda Gott's asking for prayers for her granddaughter, Mackenzie. Said she's got this virus. And Joanne was asking for prayers. Said she wasn't feeling well today. So.
We've already been praying for Mackenzie. I don't know a thing about Facebook Marketplace or Facebook or whatever, but I did see on there where prayer was being requested. Let me turn this thing off. For Mackenzie, and not only have I already been